remain standing for the reading of the gospel. It comes to us once again from Luke's gospel, the 9th chapter, today beginning with the 51st verse. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Surely few experiences in life are more painful and potentially destructive than rejection. The damage rejection does to our psychological well-being goes beyond most mere emotional pain we experience. Researchers have discovered that rejection triggers the same brain pathways as physical pain does. In fact, I read they found that Tylenol eases the pain of rejection in the same way it does physical pain, because it's working on the same brain pathways. In many ways, they say, however, it's worse than physical pain because we can relive it and re-experience the same pain as we do far longer and more vividly than experiences of physical pain. Maybe if you try remembering, which I would not suggest now because it'd be hard to get you back if you go back there in your own mind. Remembering a painful rejection and the pain we experience in that moment will come rushing back to us. And we will experience it all over again. Unlike remembering an experience of physical pain, we can remember the experience, but our brain will not cause us to relive that pain again. Because of that, the potential lingering effect of rejection exceeds almost every other kind of pain. And how we respond to rejection will determine if it goes to another level of destructiveness in our life, or if it's dealt with and we find healing from it. What I mean is, rejection, if not dealt with in a healthy way, can send us on our own kind of seek and destroy mission, in which we experience things like a romantic rejection, a vocational rejection, maybe cause us to begin to beat ourselves up and kick ourselves when we're down, convincing ourselves we deserve to be rejected because we aren't good, or we aren't lovable, or we aren't successful. And that can go on for a lifetime. And on top of that, the greatest danger of rejection is not just the psychological damage that we experience from it, but it is the spiritual attack that it opens the door to, as a weapon of the enemy like no other. Jesus, you might remember, said, "The thief comes only to kill and steal and destroy." And that includes our self-worth. You might remember the story of King Saul. He was the first king of Israel. He took this young shepherd boy become warrior named David under his wing. He became his right-hand man, his leading general. He even gave his own daughter to him in marriage. But you may remember that over time, the people came to adore David. They began to sing a song when they came to town. It was a song about how Saul had done this, but David had done so much more. Experiencing this as a form of rejection from the people, Saul, the story says, it allowed an evil spirit to enter into Saul's heart. And he in turn begins to experience this jealous rage. Spends the rest of his life trying to kill David, this man that he loved. Research shows that internalized rejection often leads to anger and aggressiveness. As we've seen in our own society in the last 2 weeks, another horrific school shooting by a young man who, if you read much of his story, his life was filled with rejection, which opened the door in his heart to hate, to violence, to evil. Research shows that workplace violence against women, is often traced to the effect of rejection in the perpetrator's life. The lingering power of rejection can also create a fear of it that affects our future. If we experience rejection, oftentimes we will withdraw from ever risking trying again to be accepted, to achieve, to become. Or sometimes it just causes us to take on a non-conforming rebellion so that I no longer, because I fear not being accepted, I just rebel against being accepted. Or maybe even we conform to be accepted in a way that we know is not God's desire for us, for our life. So all that being said, how we handle rejection in our life is really important. It's important for our psychological well-being, but it's also important to our spiritual well-being and ultimately to our attempts to live into the true identity that God created us for, the image of God, and to fulfill God's purpose for our life, in this case that we're talking about, following Jesus. The question this morning we might ask is, what does this have to do with Jesus' journey to the cross and his call for all those who would follow him to deny themselves and take up his cross and follow? In this series of sermons, what does it mean for us to die to ourselves, we're asking, to die to our sin and to follow Jesus? What do we have to die to on that journey? Last week we talked about dying to pride. This morning we're going to talk about dying to rejection. I mean, if there's anyone who knows something about rejection, surely it's Jesus. We got a preview before he was even born. His mother had to go into hiding. There was no room for him in the inn. He had to live the first years of his life as a refugee in Egypt. He came home as an adult only to be rejected in his own home synagogue. Sometimes the most painful rejections are by those who are closest to us, the people that are supposed to love us. He goes to a place called the Gerasenes, heals a man named Legion, only to have the people of the village come out and say, "Leave, we don't want you here." There's a telling verse in John chapter 1 that speaks of Jesus' life. It says, he came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. The story read today is a story of rejection. Jesus and his disciples respond to it very differently. Jesus has just come off the Mount of Transfiguration, where his destiny on the cross is confirmed, where his identity as God's Son is clarified and reaffirmed. And Luke says when he comes down, he set his face for Jerusalem. He sends word ahead to a town in Samaria. Now, the interesting thing is, good Jewish rabbis don't go into Samaria. They would go out of their way not to walk on that soil. You may remember the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus is in Samaria and begins to have this conversation with the Samaritan woman, and she asks him, "How is it that you, a Jewish man, would speak to me?" So he sends word to the Samaritan village, "I'm not going around. I'm coming to your village." It is a word about him being a Messiah for all people. But when he gets there, the story says, they ask him to leave. He's not accepted there. Think about what that means. You're on your way to die for these people, and they reject you. And if you're his disciples, if they reject you, you're rejected with him. And James and John's reaction is angry, aggressive, even violent. They ask Jesus, "Do you want us to call down fire from heaven and wipe them all out? How dare they reject you?" The story says Jesus rebukes them. It's a strong word. We may not capture the strength of it. It's a harsh word. It means that Jesus is so alarmed by what he's just heard them say that he calls them down strongly and decisively. I mean, after all, think what he's been teaching them just in recent days. To follow me, you'll have to deny yourself. Deny your anger. Deny your pain. Deny your desire for revenge. You'll have to resist your emotional desire when hurt to hurt back. Or maybe even remember the earlier teaching that he started them with, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. He said things like, "You've heard it said, love those who love you, but hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, and turn the other cheek, and go the second mile." To deny yourself, to take up the cross, to bear pain, and make it redemptive, not destructive. So we're talking in all of this about what does it mean to die to ourselves and die to sin. What does it mean then to die to rejection? Because after that, after all, what wounds our sense of self more than rejection? Because if we don't die to it, the enemy will come and he will use it to steal our identity in Christ, and he will kill our self-worth in Christ, and he will destroy our purpose in Christ. So we ask the question this morning, how do we die to rejection, this painful experience that is so common to many? First of all, I would say that dying to rejection begins with looking to the right source for my identity and my affirmation and my self-worth. One of the traps of rejection is performance-based identity and worth. It happens to people often when we experience in relationships when we're young a feeling that we are only loved and accepted if we perform well. If we live up to others' expectations of us, which is something we'll look at a little more later. Remember Jesus' compelling invitation where he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." His yoke is the cross. It is a symbol that says to us all we are so valued and so loved that he died for us. "Learn from me," he says, "who you truly are and how you are valued." It is the symbol of grace for us, love that is unconditional, unearned. And the heavy burden he invites us to lay down is performance-based acceptance. He's asking people to lay down the idea they have to somehow be good enough for God to love us. Remember that at Jesus' baptism and on the Mount of Transfiguration, where he's just come down from before this passage, God comes to Jesus both times and reaffirms one thing for him. "You are my son, my beloved, and with you I am well pleased." With you, not with your performance, not with what you do or what you don't do, but who you are, his identity, what he was about to experience when he comes off that mountain and heads for Jerusalem would be rejection at every turn, from his enemies to his closest friends. And so he would need to affirm himself by finding his affirmation only through the eyes of God, the words of God, and God's acceptance alone. The fact is, we cannot trust other people to give us identity and self-worth. Sometimes we can't even trust ourselves to give us that. Because of our own experience of rejection, sometimes the enemy will make us destroy our own self-worth. So what we must trust is what God says about us. That we are loved unconditionally. That we are loved sacrificially. That we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Secondly, in dying to rejection, it also helps to remember that rejection is not always about me. Which is why we need to die to self and die to pride, because if we make life always about me, then we will suffer many things that feel like rejection. You might remember the story of Samuel. Samuel was the last prophet of Israel. He was a prophet of Israel and the last judge of Israel, the last leader called a judge. He's given his life to serve the nation, serve the people, only to have the people of Israel come to him one day and say, "You are old. And your sons are no good. We don't want you anymore. We don't want them. You are your children." It's painful. Understandably, he's hurt. He turns and he prays to God. And in his pain, God's answer is, "This is not about you. They've not rejected you. They've rejected me." In other words, Samuel had become the object of other people's, their own sin and brokenness. And God's message to him is, don't take that upon yourself. It's not about you. Thirdly, in order to die to rejection, while we may not be able to avoid it, we can't avoid getting stuck in it, which is sometimes easier said than done. But you remember when Jesus sent the disciples out for the first time on their own, he gave them these instructions. The first was, go nowhere among the Gentiles, but go first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, he said, go to the place where people are most likely to accept you. Because going and trying to find acceptance among people who have a different God and hold different values from you will be very difficult. But Jesus also warns them that even though you go among these people, your own people, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, at times you will be rejected there too. And in those cases, he gave them this piece of advice: wipe the dust off your feet as you leave. Now, on the one hand, that sounds angry and defiant, sort of a "who needs you anyway" kind of response. But if I fall into that trap, I may be vulnerable to judgmentalness and self-righteousness. It's pretty destructive too. What I forget is that they are lost sheep who reject me. You may remember Jesus weeping over Jerusalem near the end of his life. He's not weeping from the pain of their rejection. He is weeping over their lostness. He doesn't accept their rejection upon himself because he understands it's their lostness. So Jesus says to his disciples, you have to be able to let it go sometimes and just move on. Wipe off the dust. Don't get stuck in their rejection trying to blame this on them or even on myself, or trying to conform to them in order to be accepted by them, because they're lost. And if we are accepted and conform to ones who are lost, then Jesus said we'll be just like blind leading the blind. He neither did he say, stay here, call down fire from heaven to destroy them. He didn't even say, preach their doom and destruction. He just wants them to know who you are in me. Know your own self-worth in me. And when you have to, move on. Finally, in dying to rejection, the reason it's so important to move on without reaction is how we will respond will determine the future opportunities that we have. When Jesus is rejected that day in Samaria, if he listened to his disciples and responded in this angry, aggressive way, well, he'd never been able to go back to Samaria, I can assure you. But he will go back to Samaria. Before he goes to the cross, he will go back to Samaria. And we'll find another story where there in that country, he meets 10 lepers, speaking of rejected people. And he heals them. The story says one is a Samaritan, and he becomes a follower of Jesus. And he becomes a witness to Jesus in his own country. Which also means, don't let rejection make me give up too easily on what I know is important, on what I know is my calling, and what I know is my identity. You might remember a painful story, really, about this Canaanite woman she's described as, whose daughter is possessed of an evil spirit, and she comes to Jesus asking for help, only to have Jesus' response to her be, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Same thing he told his disciples. Rejection is what she could hear. But instead of leaving hurt, she asked again. His response is, it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Rejection. You would think she would leave, but she doesn't. She responds to Jesus, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Jesus' response is, woman, great is your faith. Let it be with your daughter as you ask. And she was healed. See, because of her faith, she didn't let rejection make her give up. The reality for her, and sometimes for us, is we can feel rejected even by God. Unanswered prayers, guilt and shame. Too often we base our feelings of rejection purely on our circumstances, what happens or what doesn't happen, instead of basing it on our faith. We assume sometimes God must not love me. God has rejected me. Either we give up on God, or we give up on faith, or maybe in some attempt to hold on to a fragile faith, we turn it back on ourselves and we say, this was my fault. I deserve this. I didn't deserve this prayer to be answered. We die to rejection by dying with Christ who was rejected. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul said, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Which means, I am a child of God. I am beloved. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Remember this word from John? See what love the Father has for us, that we should be called children of God. He will never reject His children. If I live every day in Christ, I can die every day to rejection. Amen. Amen.